Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
It's fun being colorblind, and it's red-green colorblindness. Anyway, open your Bibles with me, please, to Revelation chapter 3 as we complete the study of the seven churches in Revelation that is addressed by Jesus himself. As you're looking that up, I want to share with you that that tonight we have a time of discussion for this coming year's 2017 budget, and it will be at 6:30 tonight. We will meet in here. And then I want to share with you that on the 11th of December, so a couple of weeks from now, we will have the Old River Christmas Opry on Sunday morning. And this year, you really want to be here for both services because we have so many people that God has blessed us with and choirs, and Brother Joe has really put together a great Christmas Opry. And so we can't get it all in one. And so I want to invite you to plan on staying all morning. Just drink an extra cup of coffee or something, you know. But you don't have to listen to me preach that day. So anyway, remember that. And then on the 18th of December, Sunday night, the 18th, I want to invite you to be here. Get here around 6 o'clock for a time of fellowship next door in the River Center in the Landing. And it is there that we have very special guides that are tour guides that are going to take groups of you through in groups of about 20 to 25 and take you through and relive the Christmas experience. We're calling it Christmas Live. It's an opportunity for you to invite your friends, your neighbors to come on the 11th as well as on Sunday night, the 18th. And so don't forget those things. It's going to be a great time. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It is not problems that ruin churches nearly as much as the problem of prosperity ruining churches. When churches are in circumstances of total dependence upon the Lord, they never flourish more than whenever they are depending upon Him. when we started out in that little building on an acre of ground here, some of you, even some of you in here, remember that little building. And you remember how we froze in the winter and we baked in the summer. We had two window unit air conditioners in that little sanctuary. And they had to run full blast. And so if you cranked the sound system up loud enough so you could hear, well, it was squealing. And then the heaters in that thing were little propane gas heaters. We called them space heaters. Now, for those of you youngins here, it doesn't mean they came from outer space, okay? They heated a little space and everything else, you froze. But anyway, we had two of them up at the front by the pulpit area, and then it, you know, you, if the farther back you, we didn't have a problem people sitting in the front. If you in the winter anyway, because if you wanted to be warm, you sat in the front. One day I was standing there at one of those front heaters before church started. I was talking to Lonnie Fisher, and all of a sudden he and I both realized that there was a propane leak in the building. Lonnie took off outside to turn the propane off at the tank, and I don't know why, I ran back there to where we had just removed a heater so we could put in extra fuse, and I don't know if I thought I was just going to stick my finger in the hole in the wall or what, but anyway, I ran back there because on the outside there was a handle with a line coming into the church, and we hadn't capped it. And somebody had just inadvertently, I guess, gone out there and turned the gas on. And it was leaking through that wall. Now, if you know anything about propane, you know it's heavy, heavier than air. And so it stayed on the floor. And I ran back there, and I was standing behind Miss Margaret DeGaulle. Now, those of you that don't know Miss Margaret DeGaulle, there was not a holier one. I mean, she was the Mother Teresa of the state, at least. I mean, you know, she was just the holy of holies person, and she really was. She just was an amazing, godly lady, and she was in her late 70s at this time. And so I went back there and was standing behind her, and I looked up about where Kyle is now, and the flame or the gas had gotten to that heater, and it ignited. And it was coming like this up through the pews. Just, what would you have done? I just immediately reacted, and I reached right around the middle of Miss Margaret. I grabbed her and took off with her, and we hit the end of that pew, fell out in the aisle. People were jumping over us to get out of there. And then I got up, and I helped her up, and I carried her on outside. And by this time, you know, the flame was gone and everything was okay. And then I realized I just touched Miss Margaret. And I am so embarrassed. And I was as red as John Burr's sweater he had on up here this morning. And I said, "Oh, Miss Margaret, I am so sorry. I am so sorry." And she said, "Oh, Brother Daniel, don't be." And she raised her dress up a little bit and her hose were completely singed off. And that's what we started in. And God took you and multiplied you. And we didn't have any wealthy people in the church, but God just continued to bless and continued to see people enter the baptismal waters and see people enter into the ministry and on and on and on. But now here we are. And God's been blessing financially. And God has blessed, and when you drive out here, you don't expect to see what you have done and what God has done here. And so we depended upon God back then, but you and I have never needed to depend upon God more than we depend upon Him today. What you and your new pastor have to look forward to and what you have been given, oh my goodness, there is just no limit But I share with you that the church at Laodicea was a prospering church. It had prospered in many ways. Laodicea was the wealthiest of all the cities of the seven cities that we have studied. And it had a reputation of being healthy, wealthy, and wise. But as young people like to say today, not, because they weren't. They thought they were, but they were not. And so we look at what Jesus has to say to them here. And he starts out by telling them who he is. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the Amen, and the faithful and true witness, who is the one who witnesses to what God has done and wants to do. And so, unlike all the other churches, in spite of how he had to bring some things against them, he at least had something good to say about each one of them, except for the last church. There are many that believe that the seven churches also represent seven periods of time, and that the church in Laodicea is the last period of time on this earth. And you look around today and you see churches in so many ways just, quote, prospering in so many ways. And I want to share with you, I have seen prosperity ruin far more people than I've ever seen problems ruin them. As a matter of fact, I've seen problems reveal to people how they can be freed and delivered, and how God uses problems in so many ways. But Jesus starts out with his condemnation of this church. Now look at these things. First of all, excuse me, he condemns their witness. And he says, you make me sick at my stomach. Not that you can make Jesus sick, but in the language we would use to describe something, in that phrase, have you ever said that to someone? Have you ever had someone say that to you? You know what is meant here in the scripture then. Your witness makes me sick. And what is he saying here? He said, you're neither hot nor cold. Well, now, does that mean, okay, you're really on fire for God, and if you're not going to be on fire for God, it's not good just to be kind of halfway. It's better to be just completely cold and indifferent. That is not what this passage means. Let's remember that in studying each one of these cities, churches in these cities, that things that happened in those cities related to what was being said to the church. In Laodicea, they were located close to Hierapolis, another city that was known for its hot healing springs. And they were located close to another city called Colossae. Colossae was known for its cool, cold, clear, pure water, refreshing water. And so Jesus is saying here to the church at Laodicea, you are neither healing nor refreshing. You could care less about other people. You could care less about your witness. And because of that, you make me sick. Church family, we want to always be going out and sharing the gospel with people, not because we're perfect, not because we have got it all down pat, but because we don't plead ourselves, but we plead Jesus. And I tell you, Jesus is so wonderful. And Jesus is the one who really can make you really wealthy. Jesus says here, my condemnation is of your witness and of your wealth. Your wealth that you think you have makes me so sad. Because you really have nothing. The great evangelist from over a century ago named Billy Sunday said that the man who has no money is poor. The man who has only money is even poorer. Your wealth. I want to tell you how wealthy Jesus would like to make you. Jesus the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the one who is preparing a place for every believer in glory. Jesus, the one who wants to deliver everyone from a place called hell. That's how wealthy he wants to make you. And he paid it all. He paid it all. Last Sunday night, we had the community Thanksgiving service here, and I didn't know this was going to happen, but the Minister Alliance gave me a plaque for 40 years of service here in our community, and the pastor that was speaking, from Maranatha, Mark Trice, Mark's church, gave me a gift. And when I opened the gift, it was a brand new 100% pure beaver cowboy hat. And custom made. And he had tricked me earlier, a week or two ago, asking me about, he said somebody dropped a hat off and he couldn't wear it and wondered what size hat I wore. And so I just told him. He said, well, it won't fit you either. But he just lied. But anyway, well, I looked up this hat maker and I looked up that hat online and I couldn't believe what they spent for that hat. And I told somebody about it and what they spent. And that person responded to me and said, well, that just makes me think a whole lot less of that preacher that he would spend that much on a hat. I said, it makes me think a whole lot more of him that he'd spend it on me. I want to share something with you. Do you know what Jesus spent on you? Amen. Think about it. Think about it. That's how much he loves you. That's what he spent on you. He spent his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And that, my friends, is true wealth. And so Jesus said, I recommend that you get counsel from me. He said, because you think you are so wealthy and have need of nothing, but you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He says, you need to get gold from me. Now, refined gold in Scripture is symbolic of a purified life because the goldsmith would take the ore that the gold was in, and he would put it in this big cauldron, and he'd build a fire under it. And he'd get the fire hot enough that it would melt the gold out of the ore, and then he would keep the fire from getting too hot so that the gold wouldn't get brittle when it cooled. And the goldsmith knew that he had purified the gold and had removed all of the debris from it and impurities from it when he could look over in the cauldron and see the reflection of himself. And God wants the reflection of himself in our lives. And so Jesus says, come to me and repent of your sins that I might put myself in you. He says, come and clothe yourself in white raiment. Laodicea was known for its wealth and its fine clothing that people wore there. But Jesus says to them, you think you are robed well, but you are naked and poor. Come to me and be robed in my white garments. White representing that which have been washed from any stain, that sin which have been washed from any life. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let me ask you something. Did you come in here this morning with a burden? You've come in here and you don't want anyone to know. And so you've pasted on your Sunday smile, but in your heart, it's heavy. Let me invite you to do something very simple that the Bible says. Ask God to robe you. Put on the garment of praise. Let me encourage you right now to begin thinking about how awesome God is. That he would shed his blood for my sin and your sin. That he would do things that only God can do in your life, that you would just start thinking about Him and praising Him for who He is. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might take on the likeness of Him. And then He says to them, and you need to get eye salve from me. Laodicea was also known as a city that had developed eye salve for to try to heal people of eye problems that they had. But Jesus said, you need to come to me so that you can see how things really are. Now, it really is time for me to retire, because I'm just getting to where I tell you how I really feel. And so Josh Gaines came to see me the other day. Brother Dan, I need to talk. He called me up. I said, well, Josh, I'll meet you at the office. He came in, he sat down, and Josh, if you know Josh, Coach Gaines, you know how nervous he kind of is. And I said, just sit down, Josh, just sit down. I said, what's the matter? He said, Brother Danny, I've got sin in my life. I said, well, Josh, Jesus died for your sin. You know, you can. He said, oh, Brother Danny, you just don't understand. He said, I have fought this and fought this. And I said, well, Josh, what is it? And I was scared to ask, but I said, what is it? He said, Brother Danny, it's a sin of pride. It's a sin of pride. I said, well, what do you mean a sin of pride? He said, Brother Danny, I just can't get over how good looking I am. He said, you know those mirrors in the foyer of the church? I said, yeah. He said, I can't walk by either one of them without stopping and looking and admiring how handsome I am. He said, it's a sin of pride, Brother Danny. I got to do something about it. I said, oh, Josh, let me put your heart at ease, son. I said, it is not the sin of pride. He said, well, what is it? What is it? I said, it's either cataracts or glaucoma, one or the other. You're welcome, Josh. Yeah. I should have told that on Zach, huh? Yeah. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, you're blind, you're miserable, and yet you see yourself as something you're not. And then Jesus goes on to tell the people there, he said, but I love you. Isn't that something? The church that he writes to and says nothing good about, yet he says, I love you. You know what? If Jesus couldn't find anything in you or me, he would still look at us and say, I love you. Amen. I love you. And because I love you, I chasten those. I discipline those whom I love. And he said, so behold, I stand at the door and knock. One of the most famous paintings in all the world is by a man named Holman Hunt. And Holman Hunt painted a picture of Jesus holding a lantern, knocking on this door, and the name of the painting is The Light of the World. And Jesus is the light of the world. And behold, he does stand at the door and knock, so that anyone who will, any church that will, I want you to notice what it says. He says, I will come in to him. It doesn't say I will come into him, though whenever we receive Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our hearts. God comes in us to live, and we die to ourselves, and we are born again through Christ, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. But here in this passage, the Bible says, I will come in to him. I will come up to him. I will come up to you, and we will sit down and we will fellowship with one another. And you have just never enjoyed fellowship like the fellowship there is with Jesus. I was talking with Richard here a few weeks ago whenever they were having their first interview with this man. And Richard was saying, well, Brother Danny, you know, I hope he likes us. And I said, Richard, Let me stop you right there. I said, if I were going to just pick 8 people out of this congregation to go have a party with, I couldn't pick 8 people that you could have more fun with than we could have with the 8 of you. I said, so let me just tell you something. If he doesn't like y'all, you don't want him. You don't want him because y'all really represent this church well. Well, thank God he liked them. You have never enjoyed fellowship like you enjoy it with Jesus. And if you will open the door, the one who has overcome the sin of the world will come in and overwhelm your life with the joy of Jesus. A lot of times we say, Jesus is going to have the last word. And certainly the last acts in this world are going to take place from him. But I submit to you, maybe you and me are going to have the last word. How could that be? The Bible says that in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The book of Revelation tells us he's going to come back, and this symbol is painted for us. He's going to come back riding a white horse, which was a symbol of a conquering king. He's going to come back with a bow in his hand and the word of God coming out of his mouth. And whenever he comes back, the Bible says in the book of Philippians and in the book of Romans, Romans 14, Philippians 2, that the Lord himself will come. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, listen, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you know that every person in this world, every person who has ever lived on this earth or ever will live until Jesus comes back, there's going to come a day whenever God is going to make it so plain who is in charge and that no one else is in charge. And Jesus is going to come back in such a way that it's going to be plain that he is Lord. But some people will have waited too late. But the Bible says even they will have this last word. He is Lord. But then the Bible says in Romans 14, that though every knee will bow and every tongue confess, that everyone is going to stand before God and give an account of their works and their witness and whether or not we confess Christ as Savior. And then I believe that God's going to look at us and he's either going to take his hand and point down or point out, or he's going to hold his arms up and we get to come running into the arms of Jesus. You remember when you were a child and your mom and dad would hold up their arms and want you to come to them? You were just learning to walk perhaps, and you may not remember back then, but maybe you remember whenever your children got old enough to do that, and you would hold up your arms, and they would come running to you. Now, it's my grandkids that come running to me whenever Pappy holds his arms out, and they will come. I love it when after church, they come up and grab a hold of my leg and just hug. Don't you love it? Don't you love it when you see the picture of Jesus holding his arms out to you? To come to him from where you are, would you stand?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.